Imagine spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars on this massive digital ad campaign, right? And then you suddenly realize you have absolutely zero mathematical proof that the actors in the video actually consented to be there.
Oh, yeah. Or think about healthcare.
Right. Imagine you are a healthcare provider running a patient outreach video and you have, zero verifiable paper trail showing that the medical claims being made in that clip are actually legally compliant.
Which is pretty much a terrifying reality for any organization right now. I mean, welcome to the era of abundant AI media.
Yeah, where the cost of generating a photorealistic video has dropped basically to zero, but the cost of liability, that is skyrocketing through the
It
roof.
really is. The fundamental friction that used to protect us, the sheer financial and logistical difficulty of creating a moving image that has completely evaporated.
Totally.
Scarcity used to function as a built-in seal of authenticity. But now, that scarcity is dead.
It is dead. And whether you are prepping for a major corporate strategy meeting this morning, or you're just like insanely curious about where the collision of media and artificial intelligence is actually heading, you have probably felt this shift firsthand.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone feels it.
You are navigating this digital landscape where visual evidence is everywhere, but the underlying trust is just completely gone. So, welcome to today's deep dive. We are thrilled you're joining us.
Because today we are throwing a spotlight on a very real structural lifeline.
Yes, we are. We're drawing from a newly published white paper. It just came out, dated September 2026, titled The Ritual Protocol. It's by Jethro Roth Kuschel, the founder and CEO of Ritual Ads.
And what makes this paper stand out is that it refuses to just admire the problem. Like, we all know AI can make fake videos, right?
Yeah, obviously.
But this paper proposes a mechanical, invisible, architectural fix to the actual supply chain of how stories are generated and tracked.
Right, which is huge. So the mission for our deep dive today is to really figure out how we solve this massive crisis of trust and accountability in AI media. We want to find those aha moments,
Exactly.
the ones that explain how a simple open record could actually fix our totally chaotic digital ecosystem. Okay, let's unpack this. What exactly is the scale of the abundance problem we are dealing with right now?
Well, we have to start by looking at what generative AI has actually broken. In the past, creating a high-quality video required like a physical studio.
Right, a massive budget, catering, a huge crew.
Exactly. And that inherent scarcity was the organizing principle for entire global industries, advertising, cinema, healthcare. But today, generative AI has made stories infinitely abundant.
Just everywhere.
Yeah. The white paper points out that a national TV spot was recently produced for about $2,000.
Wow, $2,000 for a national television spot. I mean, that used to be the craft services budget for a single morning of shooting.
It's wild.
And this isn't just happening on the fringes of advertising either. Netflix and Amazon MGM are already integrating generated footage into their core pipelines. Amazon even greenlit three entire series on a generative production platform.
Right. So the cultural footprint is expanding rapidly. But the stakes turn deadly serious when you look at medicine.
Oh, definitely.
The paper highlights this staggering statistic: 63% of Americans consider AI-generated health information to be reliable.
63%. That is terrifying.
It really is. Because literally anyone can now conjure a convincing moving image out of thin air for pennies. So no central institution actually holds the authoritative record of where that image originated.
Nobody knows who consented to be in it or what it's allowed to claim.
Or what measurable effect it eventually had on the viewer.
It's like buying a used car, but the VIN has been completely scratched off with a file. Like, how do you know it's safe to drive?
You don't.
You have no history, no origin, no proof of safety. You're just strapping yourself in and hoping the brakes work. And regulators are entirely losing their patience with this scratched-off VIN
Oh,
situation.
they're done with it.
Yeah, as of August 2026, California started dropping the hammer. They are fining companies $5,000 per violation per day for shipping a synthetic story without machine-readable provenance data.
And the EU's transparency rules took effect on the exact same day.
Right, so the legal and financial liabilities are just compounding daily.
Regulators are essentially saying that shipping untraceable AI content is no longer like a technology experiment. It is a strict compliance violation.
But wait, I have to push back a little here. Hasn't the digital advertising industry dealt with untraceable, chaotic digital environments before?
Well, sure.
Like, we've had the wild west of the internet and programmatic bidding for a long time. People were buying phantom ads a decade ago, right?
They absolutely were. And the paper actually leans heavily on that exact precedent to prove that this chaos is entirely solvable.
Oh, okay. How so?
Well, if you look back to 2020, before the programmatic advertising supply chain had standardized its records, 15% of all digital ad spend couldn't be traced to anyone at all.
Wait, 15%? Just gone.
Just vanishing into the ether of the internet, completely unaccounted for.
Yeah.
But then the industry rallied and standardized its data and audit toolkit in 2023.
And what happened?
By doing that, the unknown spend dropped from 15% to just 3%.
Wow. That is a massive recovery of capital.
Yeah. And the rate of successfully matching ad impressions end to end jumped from 12% to 58%.
That's huge.
And the crucial takeaway here is that nothing about the actual advertising technology changed. The predictive algorithms were the exact same algorithms. The bidding platforms were the same. The only thing that changed was the standardized record traveling alongside the data.
So the smartest targeting algorithms in the world were basically useless without a verified paper trail.
Exactly. The tech didn't get smarter. It just got a standard name tag.
Which leads us perfectly into how we actually implement a fix for the AI media landscape today. We need a name tag for synthetic video.
Yes. And to understand how we build that trail, we have to look back at the history of protocols. The year 1974 was practically a magical year for this concept.
1974. Okay, what happened then?
Well, in May of that year, Vinton Cerf and Robert Kahn published the TCP paper.
Right, the foundation of the internet.
Exactly. They didn't build a massive proprietary walled garden network. They simply specified the exact rules a packet of data must carry so that any dissimilar computer network could hand it to any other network safely.
It's just a handshake.
Yeah, that simple shared handshake agreement became the internet, a network of networks.
And just 1 month later, in June 1974, the very first universal product code, the barcode, was scanned.
Oh, right. On a pack of Wrigley's chewing gum.
Yeah, at a supermarket in Troy, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And the inventors of the barcode didn't try to build a global retail monopoly or own all the grocery stores. They just agreed on 12 digits that any laser scanner on Earth could read.
And today, that barcode is scanned over 6 billion times a day by millions of companies.
6 billion.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to talk about Joel Menegro's rule of fat applications and thin protocols.
Okay, lay that out for us.
It's a foundational law of digital economics. Shared protocols create immeasurable value for the entire world. But that value isn't captured by the protocol itself. Protocols are thin because they don't hold any data or content themselves.
They're just the rules.
They are literally just a set of rules for a handshake. TCP doesn't care if you're sending an email or streaming a 4K movie. It just provides the standardized box to put it in.
Right.
Because the protocol is thin, the real financial value is captured at the application and data layers built on top of it, the fat applications like Google and Amazon, which actually monetize the content inside those boxes.
Okay, which raises a massive question for me about the business logic here. If Ritual Ads invented this ritual protocol, why on earth are they giving the whole specification away completely royalty-free? Like, what is the catch? If you invent the barcode for AI, why not license it and make an absolute fortune?
Because if a single company owns it and charges a toll to use it, it isn't a protocol at all.
Ah, right. It's just a proprietary product.
Exactly. It's just a product with an API. Mm. And proprietary products inevitably get replaced, or they get actively boycotted by competitors who don't want to pay the toll.
That makes sense.
For a protocol to actually survive and become universal infrastructure, it must be minimal and it must be free. CERN understood this perfectly when they gave the entire World Wide Web away for free into the public domain in 1993.
Wow, yeah. If they had charged a penny for a hyperlink, the web would have died in its crib.
Without a doubt.
Wow.
And we just saw this identical dynamic play out in the AI industry. The Model Context Protocol, which connects AI models to external tools and local data, reached 97 million monthly downloads incredibly fast.
97 million.
Yeah. But to ensure its long-term survival, it was donated to a neutral foundation under the Linux Foundation in December 2025.
Oh, wow.
And fiercely competing companies like Anthropic, OpenAI, Microsoft, and Google all supported it because a shared neutral protocol made everyone's individual models run better.
So the protocol stays thin and the immense value stays in the applications that the companies build on top.
Precisely.
Okay, so a thin, free protocol is the only mathematically sound way forward. Let's actually dig into what this specific protocol looks like. Here's where it gets really interesting, because Ritual is actually an acronym.
It is, yeah.
It outlines the exact six primitive fields that have to travel with every single generated story. So let's not just list these out. Let's trace the actual chronological journey of a piece of synthetic media, say a video for a new blood pressure medication.
Good example.
Before the AI even boots up, we start with the R.
Right. So the R stands for rights. And notice the author specifically chose rights, not just permissions.
Yeah. What's the distinction there?
Well, a permission is a floozy thing you grant once and forget about. A right actually travels securely with the asset.
Oh, okay.
So before a single pixel is generated for this blood pressure video, the protocol asks, who agreed to be in this? What did they consent to? And were they paid?
And we already have precedents for this exact level of rigor, right?
Do. The SAG-AFTRA 2025 commercials contract requires explicit consent before a voice or likeness is synthesized. Or consider a HIPAA authorization in healthcare. The right must be locked in first.
Okay, so once we have the rights, we move to the I, which is intent. The white paper stresses intent over the word prompt.
Yeah, because we all know what a prompt is. It's just a text string you type into a chatbot box.
Right, make me a video of a doctor.
Exactly. But intent is a highly structured brief. Who is this blood pressure story actually for? What is the specific clinical outcome we are trying to achieve? What medical claims are legally permitted in this specific video?
That's way more robust.
If you don't structure the intent and target audience properly, you miss the mark entirely. The paper mentions a study where a survivor story video made no overall difference to a broad general audience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it doubled health screenings among women without a high school diploma.
Wow, so intent forces you to define that exact target before you generate anything.
Exactly. Then the AI finally does its work, which brings us to T for trace.
Okay, trace.
And trace is much deeper than just basic provenance or metadata. Trace documents the entire lineage of the story.
Like what?
Like which specific AI models were used to generate the candidates, which versions of the video were flat out refused by the medical review board, and why.
Right.
The trace also embeds the C2PA content credential.
Let's break that down, because C2PA sounds like total alphabet soup. Think of C2PA like a digital cryptographic wax seal on an envelope.
I like that.
If anyone down the line tries to alter the video, even changing a single pixel using a different AI tool, the mathematical seal visibly shatters, letting you know the trace has been tampered with. The trace is the detailed historical record that the wax seal protects.
Perfect analogy. So from there, the video is ready to ship, bringing us to you for use.
Use, not compliance.
Right. This isn't just about general distribution, it's the specific context of use. Where is this blood pressure video legally allowed to run? Under what specific jurisdiction's rules?
Does it require a prominent AI disclosure watermark on the screen, for instance?
Exactly. This directly maps to the FDA's requirement for a context of use when using AI in regulatory decisions, or ensuring compliance with California's SB 942 transparency law.
Because a generated video might be perfectly legal and helpful to show on a tablet in a doctor's office, but completely illegal to broadcast unverified on national television.
Exactly right.
Then the video actually reaches the patient, that SA for attribution. And again, the paper replaces simple analytics with attribution.
Because analytics just tells you how many people clicked the link.
Which is basically a vanity metric.
Yeah, pretty much. But attribution binds the actual real-world outcome directly back to the creative decision in the intent phase. Did the video actually lower blood pressure?
You mentioned the studies earlier. There was a clinical trial where patients who watched tailored, culturally relevant stories saw their blood pressure drop by a massive 11 points.
Huge impact.
Yeah.
And attribution takes that 11-point drop and writes it permanently into the protocol's record.
That's amazing. Which brings us to the final letter.
Yes. Finally, we arrive at L for learning. And this is where the paradigm entirely shifts.
How so?
Learning isn't about hoarding raw data in a spreadsheet or doing vendor training on a temporary AI model that's going to be obsolete in 6 months anyway.
Right, because models come and go so fast.
Exactly. Learning is about taking that attributed success, that 11-point blood pressure drop, and writing it back into the institution's own persistent intelligence, what the paper calls the large brand model.
This is the difference between renting and owning, right? Mm-hmm. If you're just typing prompts into a vendor's tool without a protocol, you are training their model for free.
You're doing their work for them.
Yeah. But the L ensures that every time your brand runs a campaign, the data on what worked is written back to your private vault. So the next time you write a brief, you are starting with the compounded knowledge of everything you learned from the last one.
Exactly.
And it's combining a nutritional label, a passport, and an ironclad legal contract into one invisible backpack that every single video clip wears forever.
The invisible backpack is a brilliant analogy. And what makes that backpack so revolutionary is that it tells a total stranger, say, a regulator or a patient, what to trust, without revealing the secret craft of how the studio actually made the work.
Right.
Ideo's minimal by design. It doesn't give away the director's proprietary lighting techniques or editorial pacing. It simply proves mathematically that the end result is safe, legal, and consented to.
Okay, so we have these six feels, the ritual. But a protocol isn't just a passive backpack sitting in a corner, is it? It also dictates how things move and interact.
Yes. A protocol acts as a record, but critically, it operates as a strict handshake.
A handshake.
Yeah, the handshake dictates the mandatory checkpoints required from the initial brief to the final outcome. It explicitly says which field must be concluded and locked before the next step can even initiate.
Oh, I see.
The paper outlines three critical orderings here that enforce accountability.
Orderings that are hard-coded. You literally cannot skip them.
Right. First, rights must come before generation. You cannot synthesize a real person's voice or likeness and then scramble to get their consent after the fact.
That makes total sense.
The consent cryptographic signature has to be locked in the record before the AI model is even allowed to turn on.
Okay, what's the second one?
Second, use comes before delivery. You must have medical, legal, and brand sign-off for the specific context of use securely recorded before that video file is shipped to a social media platform.
Got it. And the third critical ordering is attribution before learning. You can't just feed raw, unverified data back into your brand's intelligence vault.
Exactly. You have to meticulously measure the actual real-world outcome first and write that verified success or failure back into the system.
So these are guardrails.
Essential guardrails.
Right.
Every single high-profile regulatory failure or public relations disaster we see in the news right now is a direct violation of one of those three orderings.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
A celebrity testimonial synthesized without prior consent. A pharmaceutical drug promotion shipped without fair balance checked beforehand. A massive marketing campaign renewed without actually attributing what the last $10 million accomplished.
It all comes back to missing those checkpoints.
It does. But this raises an important question. What happens when the underlying AI tools inevitably change?
Right.
We know OpenAI, Google, Runway, every favorite. They are updating and deprecating their models every few months. How does a brand build a long-term strategy on shifting sand?
That is the perfect transition to the five layers of the ecosystem, which the white paper calls the stack. Let's walk up the stack from the bottom to see how data actually flows.
Okay, let's do it.
At the very bottom, the foundational layer, you have the instruments. These are the generation models, things like Sora 2, VO 3.1, or you know, whatever drops next week.
Right.
These instruments are owned by massive tech vendors. They are entirely interchangeable, and frankly, they are fleeting. They get replaced constantly.
Exactly. And above those fleeting instruments, you have the protocol layer, ritual. This layer is shared, standard, and owned by absolutely no one.
It just sits there.
It sits right on top of the generation tools, catching the outputs and packaging them in that invisible backpack.
Amazing.
Above the protocol is the intelligence layer. This is the large brand model we keep coming back to. This layer is owned entirely by the specific institution or brand, storing their identity, their past learnings, and their verified outcomes safely away from the vendors.
Then, moving up, you have the studios. These are the accountable human teams, directors, creatives, medical reviewers who compete on craft, taste, and direction. They use the intelligence to guide the instruments.
Yes. And at the very top of the stack, you have outcomes, the actual measurable changes in human behavior or health in the real world.
But let me play devil's advocate for a second here.
Sure, go for it.
Doesn't adding all these checkpoints and layers and mandatory handshake gates just completely kill the creative magic and the raw speed of AI? Like, we finally have this incredibly fast, frictionless tool, and it feels like we are just wrapping it in heavy bureaucratic red tape.
It's a very common concern. I hear it a lot. But the reality on the ground is the exact opposite.
Really?
Yeah. The blinding, frictionless speed of AI is exactly why we need this strict structural scaffolding. If you are generating healthcare content, a clinical variable moving at light speed without a reliable record isn't innovative. It is massive malpractice waiting to happen.
A clinical variable without a record is a lawsuit. That's a chilling thought.
It is. And even outside of healthcare, moving fast without a portable record is disastrous for the bottom line.
How so?
Well, the paper cites a real-world example of a major entertainment studio that licensed 200 of its valuable characters to a specific AI video product.
Okay.
They thought they were moving fast and being cutting edge, but just 3 months later, that specific video product was discontinued by the vendor.
Oh no.
Because the studio executives didn't hold the underlying ritual record independent of the vendor's proprietary tool, the entire digital memory of everything generated under that license basically evaporated overnight.
That's devastating.
If your corporate intelligence dies the moment your vendor pushes a software update, you don't have an intelligence. You have a very fragile rental agreement.
So the protocol completely insulates you from the chaos of the software market. It makes perfect sense. Like, two competing hospitals don't compete on whether they use the DICOM imaging standard.
Right, you just use it.
They universally use it so their X-ray machines can actually talk to their computers. Two competing movie studios shouldn't be competing on how they format a basic consent record.
Exactly. It is fundamental infrastructure, not a creative format. You compete on the story, not the plumbing.
So what does this all mean for you? Whether you work in healthcare, marketing, or entertainment, this paper outlines a complete paradigm shift for your daily job.
It really does.
The financial value in your industry is no longer found in the mere act of making things. Making things is now cheap, incredibly fast, and totally abundant. The value is now entirely in controlling and proving those things.
Absolutely. Let's look at the specific, measurable examples in the paper to make this concrete for different fields.
Let's do it.
In healthcare, as we touched on, a story is now treated as a clinical variable. The paper brings up the CDC's famous Tips from Former Smokers campaign.
That one.
Right, that was a nationwide campaign of true, meticulously verified stories that drove 1 million people to quit smoking at an astonishingly efficient cost of just $268 per year of healthy life gained.
Wow, incredibly effective medicine.
But when you are dealing with stories as medicine, the ritual protocol acts as the mandatory medical chart for the story. You wouldn't let a doctor prescribe a powerful drug without checking a chart, and you shouldn't let a hospital prescribe an AI-generated narrative without one either.
And what about cinema? Hollywood is facing an existential crisis over this tech right now.
Well, cinema actually already possesses a lot of this operational discipline. They just apply it at the very end of the process.
Ah, okay.
Hollywood uses something called the Interoperable Master Format, or IMF, for finalizing delivery to streaming platforms like Netflix or Disney. They meticulously label every single frame, audio track, and subtitle with exact time codes.
So it's very rigorous.
Very. What Ritual does is take that extreme post-production discipline and force it all the way upstream to the very millisecond. An AI model generates a candid frame of video. It brings post-production rigor to pre-production generation.
And then there is the advertising world, which frankly might need this infrastructure most urgently of all. The white paper notes that 82% of national advertisers are now relying on in-house agencies.
And the turnover and volatility in that sector are massive. Forrester expects 15% of ad agency jobs to be completely eliminated by 2026 due to these generative tools.
15%.
Yeah, the actual creative work is bouncing back and forth between brands, temporary freelancers, external agencies, and AI vendors much faster than any traditional paper trail can possibly keep up with.
Right.
So Ritual provides a portable, cryptographically secure record that a brand gets to keep in their own vault, even when they fire their agency, or when the AI model they were relying on goes bankrupt. It is persistent, undeniable memory.
To summarize all of this incredible ground we've covered today, the core insight of this white paper is that Ritual is the institution's memory made completely portable.
Nicely said.
It allows a brand or a hospital or a movie studio to stand up and say, "Our work is AI assisted, it is human directed, and it is entirely brand controlled." And the protocol serves as the mathematical, verifiable proof of that sentence.
That is the perfect synthesis. For decades, protocols have quietly built the modern world in the background while we barely noticed them.
Yeah, they really have.
TCP gave us the entire internet. The barcode gave us global frictionless retail. Ritual is attempting to give us a media ecosystem where we can finally trust our own eyes again, because the cryptographic proof is permanently bolted to the pixels themselves.
It is incredibly powerful infrastructure and, frankly, a massive relief to see someone building it. But, you know, diving this deep into the mechanics leaves me with one final thought that I just can't shake.
What's
We've spent this entire time talking about massive hospitals and giant Hollywood studios needing this strict six-part protocol just to prove a commercial video is real and legally permitted. But given how terrifyingly fast this generation technology is moving into our personal devices and group chats, how long until we need a personal ritual protocol just for our text messages, our voicemails, and our home videos?
Yeah.
Like, how long until we need cryptographic proof embedded in our phones just so our own families know it's actually us calling them in an emergency and not a synthetic clone with a scratched-off VIN?
That is the sobering reality of an abundant digital world. We're going to have to prove our own reality.
We really are. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information around you. Always look for the record, and we'll catch you next time.